My text is in the second epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Now, it's a verse we are familiar with. It's a very startling verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. If you remember, it starts there with the word therefore. In that case, it means that this verse then rests on everything that's gone before, and particularly in that chapter. It talks, for example, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And there are very many wonderful verses like that. Now then, prior to that verse, the verse before or two, it talks about knowing Christ. Rather, perhaps not an easy verse to follow. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. What he's telling us there is, you could know Christ after the flesh, and yet not know him. It means, really, there has to be a knowing that is spiritual. And you could have that in many a chapel or church, couldn't you, where people would say, well, of course, I know Christ. They would know about his birth, the virgin birth, and perhaps believe it even. And they would know about his life and his death and his resurrection. They would know about those things, but they would not know him. Paul is very strong on this. He has two knowings, actually. I know who I have believed, so I know him. But with a person that you know, there's more to know. And in another place, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now then, where are we here? We're talking about people who claim, and he trusts that they claim, and if you claim this, the key word is, you know, is if. It all hangs on the if. If we know him and if we claim, then we have a relationship with our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and it's called in Christ. In Christ. Now, it's a physical expression, but it has a spiritual meaning. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. So you have to settle that first of all. Am I in Adam? Am I in Christ? Now, there are many ways of, if we say we are in Christ, or testing our salvation and see if there are marks of grace. We can be religious, we can be evangelical, we can be very doctrinal, we can know all those things. And in on a level, a spiritual life too, but not in Christ, not in that vital relationship. Now, that's what we're going to look at this morning. So we start off with the riches of grace. What is grace? Well, you know what grace is. When a person has been very unkind to you or deliberately wants to hurt you and you forgive them, what do you say? I exercise grace. You know, if somebody should call you something very unkind or know that they're hurting you and you forgive them, that is a gracious act. They don't deserve it, but you show them your favour. Now, when God does this, is on a very wonderful and a big scale, where he shows grace to people who do not deserve it. Now, there's none of us here can say, well, I deserve grace. I'm not surprised. I'm from a family of good people, good chapel people, attended faithfully, gave well, supported the ministry and so on. But you could say that, but not particularly knowing anything about the grace of God. And when we understand the grace of God, we also it humbles us, because it means we put our total dependence. What's your life like? A life can be very empty. It can be very full of religion, I know, but that can still be pretty empty. I can remember an occasion I said to my mother, well, I like chapel. I like the singing. I like our minister. I like everything we do. But really, I don't see much in it. And she was concerned and expressed so, but said, maybe time, God will have mercy on you. And he did. Now, what is this grace? It's something that God shows to us. That's a remarkable thing. It's not something we show to him. I shall be very gracious to God because I like him. It's not like that. It's God that shows grace to us. And the main hallmark in us will be, there will be signs of grace. The way you think, what you say, whether we are critical, whether we are kind, whether we are sharp, whether we are tender, whether we are generous, whether we are mean, it will all show whether we are gracious people. The way we'll talk about our Lord Jesus Christ will show. We might just say, yes, I go to chapel, I believe in being absolutely correct on the doctrine, and when you talk about him as he means everything to me, there's a vast difference between the two. Both are very good, you might say, yes, but one of them means he's precious to you. He's everything to you. When that happens, it usually means it's a mark of grace. There is grace there. To be in Christ is a soul that has been awakened. By nature, I need hardly tell you, by nature, what we are like. We are spiritually in darkness. We love to gratify ourselves. Our own opinions are terribly important to us, and we're all very opinionated, and we're all very controversial. That's how human beings are, and we can be very difficult to want our own way, and we're not happy when we don't get our own way, you know? That is true. When something happens to us, we are awakened. What is awakened? It's something in the soul. You can call it spirit, if you like. I like to call it the heart or the soul. There's an awakening there. And unless that takes place, nothing will happen. Nothing. You can read as many books as you like. You can listen to as many sermons as you like. Nothing will happen unless that takes place. It is a secret act of the Holy Spirit in your soul. You don't actually feel anything. There's not a rumbling going on in your heart. There's nothing like that. But you begin to think. You begin to think about God. What is he like? What does he think of me? What kind of a person am I? Am I a nice person? Am I really nice to know if somebody knew what my heart was like? What does he think of me? You know, we think it's important what we think of God. We've got it wrong, you know. It's what he thinks of us. To be a man of grace is a person who's awakened and finds an attraction to God. It's a fearful thing. Sometimes it's almost in the form of a fear of God. But you are drawn to the character of God, whether it is an awesome fear of his being, because he's holy and you know he's clean. We know that. The Bible tells us, but hardly do we need that to be told to us. We can't have a dirty God, can we? We can't have an unclean God. We can't have a mean God. That's hardly so. The God of the Bible tells us quite clearly of his purity and his holiness, all that about him. So this God that deals with us is the perfection of purity itself. He's a spirit, but he has a personality. Now then, when he moves by the Holy Spirit, because they work in harmony, when he moves towards us, he wakens up that soul, and then eventually, when we see our need, I've heard many people say to me, and I wish I perhaps sometimes I've been a little plainer with them, you know. They say, I never really felt I was a sinner. There's something wrong. Then if they never felt they were a sinner, well, they never saw their need. You know, like saying to the doctor, well, I wouldn't mind having some medication, but I don't feel ill at all, really. I don't really think there's anything wrong with me. What's the point of going to the doctor? Or taking the medication or anything because you wouldn't take it. You put it in a cupboard, probably. There must be that sense of need. As I am, I'm on my way to hell. That's a fact. An absolute fact. How long is hell? Eternal. How long is eternal? I don't know. I just know it doesn't finish. You know, sometimes with a severe illness, oh, you're looking forward to getting better. You know, you just look forward to getting better. But with hell, there's no getting better. That's it. And you should ask Satan, well, what's my future? With me. Does it get better? No. It gets worse. That's hell. Now then, it's a fact. Jesus Christ talks more about hell than he does about heaven. Why? Because he wants to warn people. Then, when we are awakened to the horror of that, that is part. Believing, I say, I'm not going to believe just because I'm frightened. No, but you should be frightened. You should be concerned about the destiny of your soul. You then begin to appreciate what Jesus Christ has done. He has made it possible for me not to go to hell. That's it. He's made it possible for me to go to heaven. And this is a remarkable thing. You know, whatever other religion and how politically correct we have to be in is ridiculous, quite honestly. You know, when Jesus Christ is the only way, why concede to anything else? Quite honestly, you know, and I don't mind where that is said. It's absolutely ridiculous. He's the only way. The others are maybe sincere, but they're all the ideas of men. This is God. This is God speaking to us in our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Why is this important? Because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's co-equal with his Father, co-eternal with the Father. So if help had to come, it had to come from outside. It had to come from there. So nearly in everything else I found, you have to pile up good works. When you know when you pile up enough, and now they're all tainted with pride and conceit, so they're hardly good works. So it has to come from outside. So it comes from glory. It comes from Christ. So we look at him briefly now. His pure birth, born of a virgin, his sinless life. He fulfills the Ten Commandments in our place. Then he is crucified for our failure to keep them. Briefly, the others, to love God with all your heart and your mind and your soul. To honour his person. To honour his name. And this is one people fool around with. And honour his day. And I tell you, if you do not honour his day, you certainly do not honour his person. To honour him in that particular and wonderful way. Jesus Christ did this. Now then, the wages of sin is death. He's crucified. The penalty for sin was death. He takes a punishment which is equal to hell on Calvary for us. Now that is a mystery. But the mystery is partly explained to our little tiny minds by, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You can't divide the Trinity, but the fellowship, sweet fellowship of the Father, turns away from Jesus. It hurt the Father. It hurt the Son. It cost the blood of Christ. That's worse than hell, you know. So that's what he suffered for us. Don't dismiss it. It's the greatest sin in this world. It's a sin against the Holy Spirit. It's to dismiss Christ. Because the work of the Holy Spirit is to present Christ. And for that, there is no forgiveness. It is a sin of unbelief. Now then, he has done all that. And so shall we say, well, if that is so, how can I come to him? Then God will help you. When I visited your heart, I put two little things there. I put the ability to repent. And I give a quality of faith that no human being can make of himself. We can have faith in things. It should be another word, really. But this faith is a special thing. It's made in heaven. He puts there, and there in the soul. then when we are drawn to Christ, they come alive. And we see what we are. We are horrified. And we turn away from that. And we turn to Christ, to God. Then where shall I put my faith? Who shall I trust with my soul and with my life? And Jesus Christ is coming to me. All ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so we come to him. Now that relationship is so wonderful. Now then, that relationship is a beginning. Yes, it's true, you cannot add to it, that's true. But it is a beginning of a relationship that goes on. Back to Paul, I know whom I have believed, right, that I may know him. Do you see it? I'm in that position of grace, but if that has really happened to me, I move on. There's progress. And if there's no progress, there's nothing. Absolutely nothing. There must be progress. Not my own little ideas and having guidance for other people and so on, finding fault. No, me, myself. Self-examination. Listen to what the apostle said about how safe we are. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, not nice, is it? Or distress, horrible. Or nakedness. Or peril. Or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That is, we rise above. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Inseparable. Now then, that can only be true if there is evidence. There has to be evidence. You can know everything and have nothing. So there's this knowing Christ and then going on knowing. We are forgiven, we are accepted, we have assurance, we have an inheritance in heaven. We are in Christ. That's the first point. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Now, are you there this morning? Be honest with yourself now. Am I a man of grace? Am I a woman of grace? Do I honour his person? Do I love his name? Do I keep the Sabbath day? Do I? You know in your heart if there's a giveaway there. Now then, the resources of grace. If any man be in Christ, then he goes on to say, you are a new creature. Now that can be, it's quite a writable creature. It says not a difference in degree. Not that we are, those who are unconverted in a sin, it's not a different, I'm a bit better. We are a new species. We're in this body, but the word, you can have creation or creature. We are different creatures. We are a new creation. Now, why does he use that word here? Now, let me read you this. Redemption in Christ is nothing less than the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose in creation. So radical in its effect, and it's justly called a new creation. Let me explain that to you. Redemption in Christ, we're talking about now, is nothing less than the fulfillment when he, at Genesis, he created, out of a void, he created creation to make something. You know, sometimes you hear things said on the media. Here is a story created. No, it was written by them, by a little thought that it always had and got from somewhere. This is what, out of a void, created. Only God can create. So now, what is now the crown of his creation is redemption. So part now of this and the crowning effect is, if I'm a Christian, I belong to that creation out of a void into the plan of God. That's how radical it is. Do you see what I'm saying? We are new creatures. They're a species. We are a new creation. We are a new thing. We belong to God's great creative powers. So therefore, what happens to us is a profound miracle, an indestructible miracle, and we can never, never be the same again. So redemption in Christ is a new creation and a miracle. Also, in Ephesians 2 verse 10, we're told, by grace are you saved, not of works and so on. We are his workmanship, it goes on to say, created, that's the word again, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath prepared prepared that we should walk in them. Now then, in the RV it has, wherefore if any man be in Christ, it uses the word not creature, but creation. It's interchangeable. Now, this new creation includes the new birth. Deep in the immortal soul, something has happened. It leads us to conversion, and we enter the new life. Now, go backwards. If you don't enter the new life, obviously, you haven't had a new birth. But if you've had a new birth, you will enter into the new life. And that is the remarkable thing. We're a new man. In Ephesians 4:24, put on the new man, which is after Christ. Be what you are. Be what you are. Don't pretend not to be that. In Romans 6, verse 6, knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that he henceforth should not serve sin. So now then, we are no longer slaves to sin. We may fail because we're still in this body, but we do not serve sin anymore. We are new. We are new creatures. We are new creation. In Ephesians 4, 24, created in Christ Jesus. Created in righteousness and holiness of truth, truth asserts itself in this body, drawing on the grace of God. Now then, what does this mean? We move on. Now, I'm asking myself with you now, when did you last have a checkup? You know, people sometimes are very careful of their health, and maybe have to be. They say, well, I've just been for a checkup. They may be healthy people, but they like to have a checkup. But people who have an illness, there's a necessity for it. So every so often, they have a checkup to see how things are. But examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Make your calling and election sure. Check. But I've always believed. I was converted. I gave my heart to Jesus. Really? Check. Are there signs of grace? Is there movement there? Are you hating sin more? Are you loving righteousness more? Are you turning away from what you were by nature to what Jesus Christ wants you to be? Now, full redemption in 5 verse 1 says, for we know that if our earthly house, this is the body, of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That is, we shall also have the completion of our redemption. This new creation is finished completely in the second coming when we have new bodies. So that's the sort of crown of creation. Creation in Genesis, creation now of us, who have come and who are in Christ, but that in its fullness, in its absolute fullness, is when we have our new bodies. Then the cycle is complete. Body and soul, a new creation. That's what it means to be in Christ. Quite something, isn't it? Quite something. Then lastly, the resolve of grace. In this life, we are on a pilgrimage. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things, you clinging to them? All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. What are the old things? Besetting sins, old habits, old attitudes, critical spirit, plain awkward, liking to give a dig at people, you know? Old ways, greedy, wanting our own ways. Old ways. There are hundreds of them, hundreds. are passed away. They no longer belong to you. And if you borrow them back again, we are wrong. We are wrong. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. One little thing, slightly related, when I was converted, I witnessed to all my friends, not many. I lost them all. One told me never to cross the threshold again, and he's my closest. I lost them all except one. He's still faithful. He hasn't come to the Lord yet, but he's still faithful. All but one. And I thought, oh, I can't bear this because I like to have lots of friends. Then he provided me with new and better friends. And in one way, I don't know if I'm how right or wrong I'm explaining this. I was born at a certain date. It doesn't matter when. And I lived for 26 years. And, you know, there were many good people I knew. Of course, there were revival people, good people I knew, and I admired them. But, you know, I was only born when I came to Christ. Really, I can honestly say, I only count myself as having started to live when I became a Christian. That really is life. There was a life before. I do appreciate it. I appreciate my parents and all those things. I appreciate all that, but it's like a story now. Life, when I found myself in him, that's life. The other was death. It was interesting. Death is, that kind of death is interesting. Satan sees to it. Very interesting. I had lots of hobbies. You know, lots of interesting friends. But it was death. Death, death, death. But this was life. This was life. It's a wonderful thing. Listen to Isaiah 43:18. Remember ye not the former things? He understood a lot, didn't he? Remember ye not. Don't call them back. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Isn't that lovely? What, in me? Yes, there's a lot of mess to be cleared up, but I will do a new thing. It is a new way of life. All things become new. We begin to have holy desires. Now then, it's a strange thing. There's one Welsh hymn. I kind of know it well enough in my mind now to translate it well, but I give the idea. I love now and cherish now the things I hated before. I want now the things I had no time for before. It's very interesting, isn't it? Quite right. Now, because now there is a desire. We want to be like Christ, don't you? We want to please God, don't we? We want to go to heaven, don't we? We want to be accepted in Christ. Or are you happy? Are you happy? When I think of Cardiff now, I know it's a nice, pretty city, all that. But you know, it's not really clean, is it? Nightclubs? I've never been in one, but a bit of filthy. The music, the subculture, the noise to drown their consciences, the drink, the drugs, the immoral behaviour, the talk, the swearing. Would you like to live in that forever, for a million, trillion, zillion years, and that's only beginning? How horrible. How horrible. How absolutely horrible, you know? Passed away. To desire that which is clean, that which is good. Now then, desire unto the heaven. When we might say, well, trials come, Lord. It's not going to be an easy path, says God. Trials come. Now, I wonder if there's anyone here who's never had a trial. Do you know what I mean by trial? A tough time. Well, I'm old enough to say that we as a family have had many, you know, my wife and I particularly have had many. I think the worst was when I was told I had just a year to live, or maybe just 6 months. You know, the trials. Now, what do you do when you have trials and you're a believer? What do you do? Well, shall I tell you? You turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. Listen to how Isaiah put it. He put it like this. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths, and they're strong, shall faint and be weary with their ordinary physical strength, and the young men shall utterly fall. They all get old, you see. But they that wait upon the Lord, whether they're old or young, but they that wait upon the Lord, listen, wait for it, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. They will rise above their circumstances. And even if we have failed in badly, we can still turn and rise above. There's also, you know, a desire to love God and have a right attitude to God and to one another. It's a test. It's a test. It's easy to love those you love. Do you agree with me? It's easy to like those you like. It's easy to be kind to those you want to be kind to. That's nothing. The test is when you do good to them that you're not keen on. When you do good to them that despitefully use you. When you bless them that curse you. That's the test. And that shows where our heart is. The fear of death. Are you afraid of death? Now, I'm not going to belittle it. We haven't gone that way yet, have we? Any of us here? We're alive. But I tell you this, we all will. We all will. Those big black cars will come to every one of our homes. Yes, we all will. We all will close our eyes. We all will have the last heartbeat and the last little breath. We all will. Even Satan can't say, I'll let you live longer on the earth. No, he can't. We all will. Now then, are you afraid? Are you afraid when that hour shall come? Ah, but I'm young. Exactly over a quarter of the people I've buried have been young. Young men and women. All right? Unexpected sometimes. Are you afraid of death? If you believe, you can get over the hurdle. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Assurance in the valley, assurance in life, in the valley. Now then, we have a new eternity. It is radiant and wonderful. Now then, I know we don't want to die before our time. That would be unnatural and odd. But at the same time, you can say, all this with God now and heaven too. I can tell you, don't be afraid, my friends. When our time comes and you're a believer and you do want to stay with your loved ones, it's natural. But you know, he prepares us. And the desire that's in our hearts strengthens. And we can say, I'm ready. I am ready. Pause at that. I am ready to be offered. He was going to be martyred. I am now ready. He prepares it. Because you see, death for us is only a door opening into glory. That's death for us. Our last breath here is the eternal breath of heaven. And we are his forever. Now, all that is ours. If, now there's, pretend there's a beautiful country, a lovely, lovely country. It has everything beautiful about it. Now then, you have to leave this country to get there. And you get there now to the means of conveyance to get there. And have you paid your fare? Yes. Have you packed your luggage? Yes. Have you everything in order? Yes. Now, let me see your passport. Oh, do we have to have a passport? Well, yes. You can come. But look at the work I've done. Yeah, I've packed. No entry. no entry. You're in Adam. You belong over there. They don't need a passport there. You go in for nothing. No need a passport there. You can be the most horrible person. It doesn't matter. He takes anybody. He takes everything. He doesn't care anybody so long they can suffer with him. But for him, we need a passport that's stamped with the blood of Christ. Can you see this sentence hangs on the word if? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, make sure of it, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. When did you have your last check-up? Now shall we pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can come to thee in our Saviour's name and ask thy blessing upon us, O Lord, and grant thy grace towards us. Bless us, heal us, lead us, guide us, and for all our needs that are many and varied, and our concerns and our anxieties, we cast our burdens upon the Lord, for he careth for us. Hear us, O Lord, for thy name's sake. Amen.